The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. So I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. The second reading from St. Paul today, it almost reads like a soliloquy, doesn't it? It's like he's reflecting on his experience of God and realizing how little he knows. "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how inscrutable, how unknowable are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways." Not only unknowable, but also unsearchable. "Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Nobody. For through him and from him and for him are all things. All being is from him and for him and through him." So St. Paul simply says, "To him be glory." Because there's nothing else you can say if you enter into this kind of reflection. And this is how we have to work into this idea. In the Gloria, where we gave God glory already at this Mass, there is added in that phrase not only glory to God, but also thanksgiving for all that he's done for us. It's the mystery of God, though, that we approach today. And a lot of times people would think mystery is something that's unknowable. But it's not. Mystery is always knowable, capital M, mystery, because every time you approach it, you learn something more, but you can never know it all. It's inexhaustible. That's why this element of faith is still there. God always reveals himself to us. He makes known who he is in many different ways. We simply need to be paying attention, but we cannot know all of it. So all that we have is what God has revealed to us in his creation, perhaps, or especially in one another. Above all, in our Son of God, brother, Jesus, who reveals by his words and actions. So I want us to look now at the gospel from that perspective, that lens, that God is pretty undefinable. This is actually what Jesus is talking about to his apostles, but he's doing it in a very strange kind of way. He takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. We did go there on one pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I don't remember which one. It's about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, in that area that was called the Golan Heights in the Israeli War. They took this land from Syria. It's a very lush place where there's this ancient spring that comes out of a cave from Mount Hermon. Today it's on the border of Lebanon. So imagine this now only about 25 miles from Capernaum, the place where Jesus spent a lot of his ministry. In Old Testament times, this northeastern area of Israel was the center for pagan worship. The Baals, the gods that back from the time of Elijah, it was the center for Baal worship. And in the nearby city of Dan, the Israelite king Jeroboam built that high place that angered God when he led the Israelites to worship false gods. Eventually, the worship of the Baals was replaced with worship of Greek fertility gods, the center of worship of the Greek god Pan. The pagans believed that the cave of the great spring at the base of Mount Hermon was a gate. Their gods lived in the underworld during the winter and returned to the earth each spring, and they would come through this gate where there would be celebration and a lot of things going on that we can't talk about here. So basically, they believed that this gate was literally the gate to hell. And Jesus brings his people here, his disciples. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? He goes to what we would call Sin City. It's where he takes his apostles to ask them this question. But he's making a point. He doesn't want his followers to be hiding from evil. He wants us literally to storm the gates of hell. So Jesus drops this question. Who do people say that I am? Well, remember, God is inscrutable, unsearchable, undefinable. So you can always say what God is like, right? But Jesus is saying, who do people say that I am? But they're getting now to the point where they're realizing the question is really God. So they say what Jesus is like. Well, some people say you're like John the Baptist or Elijah or maybe one of the prophets. But the only way to know about who Jesus is actually to know Jesus. And suddenly the answer comes from Peter when he realizes Jesus is not asking a question, an abstract question or something on a test. Peter suddenly realizes, I know you. You are the Son of the living God. He makes this statement about the living God surrounded by dead gods. Peter becomes the living stone. Peter, his new identity, this name that Jesus gives him, Petrus in Latin, it means rock or stone. It's like in Spanish, it's piedra, which is rock, and Pedro, which is the name. It's living is really not something stones do, I think is the point Jesus is making. The stone is living only because of the revelation that comes through it. The stone that knows who Jesus is. So I suddenly began to think maybe this text from the gospel isn't as triumphal as the church has always made it out to be in defending hierarchy and authority. What Jesus is actually saying is, even you, a stone, can live, and I'm going to build my church on you, on the fact that God's power flows through you. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, which, by the way, is right over there, will not overcome it. So build your church on the very places where they are most needed. Come here, for instance, where sin is overwhelming. Do not fear, even in the face of ridicule, anger, or martyrdom, which we know is the century to follow. At this point in the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. Right after what happens today in Caesarea Philippi, he takes Peter, James, and John up on Mount Tabor, and there's the Transfiguration. If you go a few chapters more into the Gospel of Matthew, there are a few parables. Jesus predicts his coming passion 3 times, and then they go to Jerusalem. So this trip to Caesarea Philippi was kind of like an 8th grade graduation trip, in a way. Just a very odd choice of places. But it made me think of the text from the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus was entering into the city of Jerusalem, which is not too much further beyond the text we have today in the Gospel, the people proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he said to them in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." This is the miracle. All of us are living stones. Now, we've heard that from the letter of Peter, right? Make of yourself a house built of living stones. But I never actually thought of it so literally as this, as we are actually stones unable to do anything alive unless God actually does it through us. And as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Jesus knew it was time to do battle with evil. And we might be able to feel paralyzed in the face of it and say, "What can we do? After all, we're just stones." But Jesus makes us alive. And with his power, all things are possible.